Welcome back to Critical Theory, Cultural Studies, and Postmodern Theory Considered in Terms of Civil Liberty. This is Lecture 11. We're well into postmodern theory now, and we're treating postmodern theory proper, or postmodernism, with the work of Jean-François Lyotard. Jean-François Lyotard lived from 1924 to 1998. He was the first philosopher to use the word postmodern to describe a condition and an approach to that condition. And he did so in the book, The Postmodern Condition, A Report on Knowledge, in 1979. This is the book, his main book, the book for which I should say he's best known, and the one that we will consider here for our treatment of postmodern theory. This is a short 82-page book, which was presented to the Conseil des Universités of the Government of Quebec at the request of its president. So this was a report on knowledge given to this the president of the Conseil for Universities of the Government of Quebec. Ostensibly, this is a report on knowledge in the age of computerized societies. But it goes much further than that, calling into question the master narratives or meta-narratives that have sought to explain science, society, and history. And this is a definition of postmodern. Simplifying to the extreme, writes Lyotard, I define postmodern as incredulity toward meta-narratives. And meta-narratives are these overarching explanatory modes that explain history, that explain society at large, that explain their development and so forth. And Marxism, of course, is a primary one in consideration here. He states that meta-narratives can no longer be seen as legitimating knowledge claims. There's no meta-narrative with which to legitimate knowledge claims. And so this puts scientific knowledge into a legitimation crisis. And this is because the postmodern condition consists of discourses that no longer make up a whole. The meta-narrative of particular importance for Lyotard is Marxism, which he finds inadequate for explaining the postmodern condition. Instead of meta-narratives, the postmodern condition presents us with various localized language games. There are these competing and subsisting discourses, each with their own games or language rules and games. Knowledge within these localized heterogeneous discourses in a computerized society is legitimated not by any meta-narrative, but by their efficiency. Power is the main operating force in these language games. So they're agonistic, as I'll talk about in a moment. In matters of social justice and of scientific truth alike, the legitimation of that power is based on its optimizing the system's performance efficiency. There are inconsistencies in the aims of efficiency, of course, one of which is that the various discourses are incommensurable, for one. They don't jibe with each other entirely. They're competing in some sense. They're heterogeneous, and so therefore they're not connected to one another. They're distinct. But unlike under Marxism, he says, we can no longer expect their resolution, the resolution of these conflicts or contradictions, as in the dialectic in which we have the thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. This is no longer to be expected, he suggests. The logic of maximum performance is no doubt inconsistent in many ways, particularly with respect to contradiction in the socioeconomic field. But our incredulity is now such that we no longer expect salvation to rise from these inconsistencies, as did Marx. So here we have a jab thrown straight out to Marxism, that it doesn't, that we can't expect the kind of resolution that Marxism posited. Thus, the legitimation of knowledge is no longer moral in the broadest sense. Legitimation is technological. And I mean moral here is it cannot be legitimated. Knowledge cannot be legitimated by reference to what's best or what's good or what is tending towards some end, some telos, and so on and so forth. Legitimation is technological. Where, he asked, after the meta-narratives, can legitimacy reside? The operativity criterion is technological. It has no relevance for judging what is true or just. So we have this maximum heterogeneous, pluralistic set of discourses and under which and within which no relevance for judging what is true or just. So there's a legitimation crisis both in terms of knowledge and its truth and its justice. There's no way of determining what is true or just. Beginning with knowledge, Lyotard states that our working hypothesis is that the status of knowledge is altered as societies enter what is known as the post-industrial age and cultures enter what is known as the post-modern age, which is the age that he sees us or him as entering, having entered. It begins from the premise, scientific knowledge is a kind of discourse. So here we have this kind of equating of scientific knowledge with other kinds of discourses. Of course, this is an epistemological leveling of sorts because science has traditionally been conceived of as a mode of operation that is has epistemological superiority to other discourses. And he basically undercuts that from the outset. In the context of computerization, the character of knowledge is necessarily changed. Knowledge, he says, is becoming exteriorized with reference to the knower. That is, knowledge is no longer something held by the knower per se. It is not within the subject. Knowledge is becoming quantities of information. And we can see that there's truth in that. And knowledge is becoming a commodity. It's all becoming commodified, and these are problems for legitimation. Knowledge thus faces a legitimation crisis. It used to be that scientific knowledge was legitimated by narrative, the progress towards truth, etc., etc. This can no longer be maintained, he suggests. But now scientific knowledge is performative. Computer code executes what it claims. That is, it is a language which executes its own directives. It is not simply representative, it is performative. He illustrates the difference between performative statements and claims that require confirmation with the following two oppositional statements. One, the university is sick, to which I agree, and two, the university is open. These are different kinds of statements. One is a performative, that's the second one, and the first one is a claim, which requires, you know, some sort of confirmation, or as Popper put it, it requires verification or falsification, actually. First is a declarative statement that requires confirmation or verification or validation or even falsification. The second is performative. If spoken by a university president, for example, it executes what it says. The university is open becomes a statement that executes what it says at the moment of stating it. This is the kind of statement, he says, that is now operative in a computerized society. Statements become, they execute their own statements. Statements execute themselves. It follows then that different rules apply to different language games. Every utterance should be thought of as a move in a game. Speech acts fall within the domain of general agonistics, that is, struggle for power. Once again, the notion of everything being a play of power is at stake. The observable social bond is composed of language moves. So language games are the only things that bond people together in any social way. And these games are, of course, agonistic, as he points out, and they have their own set of rules. Each game has its own set of rules. And these rules are not necessarily commensurable with each other. And these games are not commensurable with each other. We play in these different discursive fields at different times. Two basic models, he says, of society have been proposed by sociologists. The point is here is he's going to refute both of these models for society. In order to understand what knowledge is, we have to have a model for society, he suggests. The two basic models for society are either society forms a functional whole, as the sociologist Parsons argued, or it is divided in two, as held by Marx. He's going to suggest that both are wrong. In the case of the latter, the conflict theory, even opposition has been absorbed into the system and is part of its efficiency. Criticism becomes something that helps the system to function more efficiently. This is particularly evident in the Frankfurt School criticisms, he says. Of course, certain minorities of critics, such as the Frankfurt School or the group of Socialism or Barbary, preserved and refined the critical model in opposition to this process, this integration of all criticism. But the social foundation of the principle of division or class struggle was blurred to the point of losing all its radicality, that there was no further any opposition, and no longer any real opposition provided by the class struggle or in the class struggle. The working class was not an agonistic element thereof. So this was blurred to the point, the class struggle was blurred to the point of losing all of its radicality, its potential for changing anything. And he goes on, we cannot conceal the fact that the critical model in the end lost its theoretical standing and was reduced to the status of a utopia or a hope. That is, the criticism becomes nothing but a hope for a utopia or some other possibility, a token protest raised in the name of man or reason or creativity, or again of some social category such as the third world or the students, which is what happened with Marcuse and the Frankfurt School, on which is conferred in the extremis the henceforth improbable function of critical subject. He sees this as being eradicated in the computerized age, in the postmodern condition. But under the postmodern, post-industrial, computerized condition, even the critical functions will, quote, be entrusted to machines. So everything is computerized and all will be internalized by machines, so that increasingly the central question is becoming who will have access to the information these machines must have in storage to guarantee that the right decisions are made. Power becomes access to data, and access to data is and will continue to be the prerogative of experts of all stripes. The ruling class is and will continue to be the class of decision makers, but even now the ruling class is no longer composed of the traditional political class, but of a composite layer of corporate leaders, high-level administrators, and heads of the major professional, labor, political, and religious organizations. The problem here is he sees that the state is no longer the site of the ruling class, and he finds that to be a problem, believe it or not. What is new in all of this is that the old poles of attraction represented by nation states, parties, professions, institutions, and historical traditions are losing all their attraction. That is, these are no longer sites around which a master or grand narrative can hold. Thus, the grand narratives are losing their hold. The grand narratives are being replaced by various local discourses. Within these local discourses, people are mere nodal points of specific communication circuits, however tiny these may be. And notice this reduction, if you will, of people to mere nodal points of specific communication circuits. They're just nodes through which communication passes. Language games are the basis of social bonds, moreover. These are the only things holding the social order together in its various strains. Of note here is the postmodern conception of the self as a mere nodal point within various discourses, and particularly, quote, that each of us knows that our self does not amount to much. We're going to go back to that in the critical conclusions to the whole course. But it's worthwhile noting here that the self does not amount to much, and this is the case for all of postmodern theory. The remainder of the book consists of the elaboration and extrapolation of these premises and their implications for scientific knowledge. Science becomes a series of various incommensurate language games that are legitimated by their performativity. I will save critical conclusions about Lyotard and postmodernism, and I will also include criticisms of neo-Marxism in my critical conclusions for the course on postmodern theory. Thank you.